Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's going on? Welcome to, you know, we don't really have a name for this show yet, but my name is Seth. I am with fucking the Gary Cantrell. What's up, Gary?
What's going on, Seth? How are you, man?
I'm good. I don't know why I was expecting you to kick off the podcast. It's because you've got, like, you're wearing headphones, you have a microphone, you're very professional. I have none of that because I don't know where any of my shit is at my house. So I was just like, oh yeah, Gary's going to intro this, but we're working on a name. Gary and I just had a very healthy conversation before we hit record about what we want to do with this podcast. So I know a couple of you like it. You know, we are here specifically today for our post-WrestleMania recap. Gary was there. Gary was in the house. Gary was around Philly. So we're going to get it all. We got a ton of stuff to get into, and Gary's got notes.
Well, before we even get into that, I got a little heat to start off this podcast with, if you'll indulge me for a moment, Seth. And not heat with you, of course, because we're just getting started. But on X today, Drew McIntyre posted a video where he was basically calling out CM Punk for ruining his WrestleMania moment. I replied to this tweet, X whatever, and I just said simply, you should have bashed him over the head with the belt when you had the chance, because he's right there on the table, he's talking shit, and I get an instant suspension from X today.
What?
Yes, I'm full hot about it, man.
Dude, that sounds really... I didn't even know they suspended people anymore.
Well, here's the thing, Seth. So on X, I've learned that you can have a hot, like, full whap, legs to the sky posted right there. You can have 13-year-old kids in a bloody UFC brawl in a school bathroom. You can show rocket launchers blowing up a fucking building, but you cannot tell a wrestler to hit another wrestler over the head with a belt on a scripted TV show, apparently.
Do you think there's an algorithm that picks up that you're promoting violence when you go hit over the head? Is that what it is?
I believe that to be the case. Yeah. And look, I'm all for, like, you know, somewhat of this moderation, because when people upload, like, the real bad stuff, you want those kind of things out there to take that down. But this is a little bit over the top for me.
I have reported people that have called me, like, a Jew, F4, like, all sorts of, you know, names you shouldn't be using. And Twitter's like, nope, sorry, we're going to let this one fly. So I'm sorry about that, Gary. Hopefully you have a burner account or something.
I do have another account that I might reopen here soon. Wink, wink. So stay tuned, folks.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I don't know where you want to kick off with your notes. You know, I want to kind of find out about what happened with you in Philly. And I do want to talk about Drew McIntyre, because I think, you know, outside of the main event, that was probably one of my favorite spots. But the way you went to WrestleMania in Philly was you just showed up with no tickets, right?
Exactly. The only ticket I had was to SmackDown in the Hall of Fame, courtesy of my buddy Richie Drake. Shout out. He had me hooked up with a ticket. And basically, it was up to me to find WrestleMania. Now, my original plan was, if I find a good enough deal, we'll do both days. But I ended up only doing day one because that was the better deal.
But you ended up going to, like, the Fan Fest or something, because I saw you got a picture with Otis. And I don't know what pictures were from this year and from years past, because I saw you post a lot of stuff. So...
Right.
Who did you end up meeting? And please tell me how long you had to wait in line to meet these people.
Oh, man. Well, the lines were out of control. The thing that they actually did, where I thought, you know, and I hope WWE, if they somehow listen to this, please take this under consideration, because they had multiple autograph tables, but you were not allowed to take photos at those tables. It was strictly autographs. And then they had one, and I mean exactly one station where there was photos being done. In years past, you'd have like six different stations where there would be, you'd meet like 3 to 4 talent at a time. Now it's like, here's this one gigantic line, and you're going to end up meeting about 3, maybe 4 at a time. And they switch out about every hour. So you could be standing in the back of the line like I was, and then you see like the talent you want to meet, and they're already gone because the hour's up. And then you got to be on with the next guy, and you're like, holy shit, I don't even know who this guy is. Like, you know, what's going on? It kind of sucks, you know?
So who did you end up meeting?
Well, I met Otis. He was the most memorable. He was, like, the most personable, nice guy ever. I met Veer. I met Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
I met JC Jane.
Okay.
And, Grayson Waller. He was another really cool one that I met that I remember.
That's very cool. Grayson Waller, like, he's on the rise right now. Like, I didn't know that they were going to win the tag team championships, but, I mean, like, I've liked his personality and some of the stuff that I've seen. I haven't seen a lot of his in-ring work, but I feel like he's got the perfect heel persona.
Well, that and, like, his presentation is, like, so clean. He's almost like a Miz, but funnier, and, yeah. I love Miz. So that's not like I'm not trying to insult him, but I feel like Grayson Waller, like, he just has that very clean presentation, but he has a real, true, good, funny personality that I think relates with people and brings joy to them. Because I know every time he has some crazy joke, like, it always pops me just about every time.
So tell me, any highlights from the Hall of Fame, any highlights from the weekend, and give me your night one highlights from being there before, you know, we start digging into the, you know, the matches like a bunch of nerds.
Right. So SmackDown was not entirely memorable. I guess the best segment was like the Logan Paul, I'm over at the stadium, and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton are in the ring, and then they go over there only to find out he's back over there. But like everything else was not really like, it was not like a super eventful event. But then you get to the Hall of Fame, and the Hall of Fame, this is something that they need to do earlier in the day because it was just too goddamn long. I mean, this thing ran till after 1 a.m. Seth.
Shut up. Really?
The Rock was walking the aisle at 12:53 a.m.
Oh, my God. Man, you know, I kind of, and I don't know if I referenced it on this podcast. I've talked about it before. It's like, I don't really watch any Hall of Fame. I love sports. I don't watch Hall of Fame to any sports because the speeches, I just don't care. Like, so long. But WWE inducts a lot of people into the Hall of Fame. They let somebody induct you, so they're talking forever. Then the person that gets inducted starts talking forever. And then it's like, yeah, I could see how many people got inducted that night. Do you remember?
I believe it was 6 total.
Okay. Now, shout out to my man Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham and the Rotunda family, which I know, you know, down here in Florida. So I was very happy that Mike got in. And
have you seen that documentary yet, the Bray Wyatt one?
I have not. Is it?
Oh, dude. It's a tearjerker.
What streaming platform is it on?
It's on Peacock.
Dude, it is really crazy that I have this podcast that I did with him that nobody's ever heard. Like, I really feel like I'm sitting on something and not like I'm trying to exploit it and leak it and put it out or anything. But, like, I really feel like I'm sitting on something special because, like, if somebody found out, like, he was about to start a podcast, but it never got off the ground, but we have this hour-long episode, I don't know. I feel like I need to talk to his sister and find out what the right thing to do with that is.
I haven't even heard it yet, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I was promised that I was going to be able to preview it, Seth.
I know. I did talk about it. I'm on my email right now. I'm looking it up so I can get it to you, man. So
it wasn't like you were just out of town or something. No big deal.
Oh yeah. I forgot, dude. It's like nobody gives a shit. Like when you have stuff going on in your life, like if you had I had to go to Pittsburgh for family, some serious family shit, and it's like nobody gives a fuck. It's just which is fine. But I thank you for reminding me that I was out of town. So I will get that to you, Gary. Just I have it hidden deep on my computer here.
Not a problem. And so about the Hall of Fame, so The Rock doesn't get there till 1 a.m., but the highlight, of course, is Paul Heyman. He's the headliner, and I was completely shocked when they went with him first. And his speech, he pulled no punches. I mean, he told people to suck his, quote, fucking dick. or was it cock? It was one of the two. He also just, like, dropped the F-bomb about 30 times. And I was just like, man, we are in a new time, dude. And we'll get into it with WrestleMania, but This is the time where you truly feel like it's a new era for the company.
Absolutely. And I only saw, highlights of Heyman. I think he did say dick. I loved when he put on his ECW jacket. Stephanie McMahon was there wearing, a hat or an ECW hat or something like that. So, overall, a really, really great night. And I always like to see when WWE puts those people in the Hall of Fame because you can tell it really, really, really means a lot to them. I don't know if there's financial, stuff that they get from it, but like it's obviously, I guess anybody, any fucking sport would be special to get in the Hall of Fame, but those guys especially.
Yeah, I mean, if they could just do it in the afternoon before SmackDown, and I understand they got to rehearse stuff, and SmackDown's obviously the priority, but running till 1 a.m. is just a little too long. Thunderbolt Patterson, he had like the most passionate of everybody talking that night. God bless his soul. But that dude just went on and on and on. And people in the crowd were like mocking him, like chanting like LA Knight, yeah, after every time he would say something, almost like what? And it was crazy.
And it's funny because it does seems like WWE kind of, in Triple H especially, or whomever is, you know, I know every Triple H gets all the credit, but dude, WrestleMania Night 2 ended at 10:44. Like,
that's impressive.
Dude, and Night 1 would have ended a lot earlier if it didn't take 40 minutes for everybody to get out to the ring, which I know they plan that stuff. But I have never, the WrestleManias of the past had been like 5 hours. They would go deep into, I mean, I don't know if you remember that Undertaker-Roman Reigns match in Orlando, you know, years
ago. I was there.
You were there? I mean, dude, I felt like that was like, went into like 12:30 in the morning. I mean, because I couldn't believe it. So WWE, they ran a tight ship. The matches didn't go too long. I saw like the Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, all that. That match went 8 minutes. Like everything was tight. And I really love the way they're producing these now because I think less is more.
Absolutely. And I love just the overemphasis of like the sports like vibe. Like they did like this profile piece on a photographer who shot photos for Muhammad Ali on the pre-show. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm watching like a Fox Sports or CBS or somebody. And I'm just like, I really love this presentation. I love how seriously they take it. I love all the, as a videographer, I love the kind of different angles and drone shots they're using. I'm really becoming like a huge fan of this new production overall. I'm super impressed with how clean it looks. Samantha Irvin with those introductions that has like champion and challenger on the screen. Love it all.
Oh my God, Samantha Irvin. I don't even get me started on her. That woman is just too talented. It's absolutely incredible. Now let me, you were there at Night 1. We could talk about a billion things. You know, you tell me whatever you want from that night. I want to ask you, what introduction to you seeing that wrestler walk out was larger than life? You know, what one kind of like gave you goosebumps? I'm assuming it was The Rock for sure, but you know.
110%, dude.
Was there anybody else or nothing topped The Rock?
Well, I did like the Rhea Ripley thing. That was really cool with the band, you know, performance, and the guy singing kind of looked like Rhea Ripley. So it kind of worked out. It's like, hey, there's some twin action here. But The Rock's entrance by far, like walking through that Brahma bull shaped fire, like, dude, that was a whole ass vibe on that show. And it was so cold in the stadium. It felt like it was like below 40. And you had a wind chill coming in. But when that fire went off, I'm on the opposite side of the other end zone, and I could feel that fire.
You guys caught a lot of shit, the crowd, for Saturday night, because they said the crowd was dead. And everybody was like, holy, it was 40 degrees. They're like, you know, we were ready for that.
Yeah, we're frozen. I mean, what are we supposed to do? You know, like, I heard my buddy went to night two, and he said it was, like, significantly improved, the weather. And I think it was only, like, a 10-degree difference. But the wind also made a bigger deal, too.
Okay, so The Rock, obviously, you know, made you pop. Now, you know, let's get into it, Gary. Let's get into, you know, the notes that you have. I want to kind of hit whatever you think are the most important, you know, things to take away from WrestleMania, you know, as we work our way up to the main event, or we just start talking about it right now.
Well, some of my notes were about a couple of the more, like, observational things, not even necessarily matches. I mean, we could definitely run through matches. I have a good memory of those as well, but just some stuff I like, if I asked you, if you were in Philly, who do you think was like the most over guy? You'd probably say Cody, Roman, or The Rock, and you'd be 100% wrong. But go ahead and humor me on who you think would be that person.
Wow. The most over male wrestler?
Yes.
Most over male wrestler. I'm going to just go ahead and say Main Event Jey Uso.
You know, people are going to think we script this show or something, because you are absolutely 100% right. All weekend, I heard yeet followed by no yeet. You're walking out into the stadium. People are in the concourse. Yeet, no yeet. You're at the Hall of Fame. You're at SmackDown. Yeet, no yeet. All weekend, Seth, they could not keep this guy's shirts on the shelves in the superstore. I know they said Cody broke records. He did like over $1 million in merch, which I absolutely believe. But
yeah, insane.
Looking at that shelf, Jey Uso, by far, his stuff, you couldn't get any of that stuff. I mean, unless you were like a child small, you weren't getting any of his stuff. Like, that was probably my biggest surprise, because I knew he was like positioned very well in the card, but I don't think I truly knew the impact he was having on fans on a personal level.
Now, tell me about the Jimmy versus Jey Uso match, because a lot of people said that that was the worst match of the night. So,
yeah.
What's your takeaway from it?
Well, if you look at the podcast we just did, I mean, we were sitting here fantasy booking, like, are they going to get back together? Are they going to do, like, something with involving the Cody match, which they did show up. But, like, dude, they wrestled this match. It wasn't all that exciting. And Jimmy completely, it was like a super kick on Jey. Like, he was down. He was like, oh, help me, help me, help me. And it's like, okay, so basically he just doubled down that he doesn't like his brother. But his brother still gets the win. So it's like, it just kind of felt like, you know, and I think his brother should get the win. He's the bigger star. But it's like, I feel like they're just, it kind of fell flat for me, honestly.
Well, because it's a part of the Bloodline story, but it kind of branched off. And, you know, to me, them going at each other, we knew it would eventually happen. But this kind of felt forced for some reason of them doing it right now. But obviously, the spot that they had in the main event where they're, I mean, to me, that was bigger than the match that they had, you know, Saturday night.
By far the most memorable thing. Something I want to get in here, because I don't know how we can organically get back to it. Another note that I had was how many casual fans they were at this event, because you'd have like the people like us that watch it a little more regularly. And I overheard so many instances of people like explaining it to whoever they were with or the person they're with are asking like these questions like, so wait a minute, you know, why do they not like each other again or whatever? And I was just so like happy to feel this, because normally you're just surrounded by wrestling fans, like they're yelling insider stuff. They have really bad BO, which is still a trend, unfortunately. And, you know, it's just a lot of like silly chants, but there were so many more casual. So you have whatever reason it is, the Cody thing, Roman, The Rock, Logan Paul, whoever is the, you know, bringing in these outside people who don't normally watch. And I'm even being asked about it at my day job, people that are like, yo, what's up with The Rock doing this and that? And it's something I wanted to definitely make sure that I mentioned before we get too far, because I was just so impressed by how many more of that, those interactions I'm seeing.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up like people asking like what's going on, all that. Cause you know, like as a hockey fan, you know, there's always somebody you go to a hockey game with that you're trying to explain like, you know, what's offsides and you know, all this stuff. But you know, for WrestleMania always and right now is a pop culture thing. Like it falls way far outside of just like the wrestling circle. Hey. Like I went to pick up my daughter from after school care the other day and I said something about like WrestleMania last night. But it took to women. One woman looked like she was in her like late 20s. One looked like she was in her 50s. I said WrestleMania and what the older woman goes, oh, I used to watch that with my dad all the time. And then the other girl goes, oh, yeah, you know, I was, you know, I grew up watching this stuff, too. And you're like, it's been a part of a lot of people's lives, whether they want to, you know, admit it or not. And so not only is WrestleMania a pop culture phenomenon in itself, now you're bringing in Logan Paul. Now you're bringing in The Rock. You know, now you're bringing in Lil Wayne. Now you're bringing in, you know, you got Snoop Dogg there. Like,
oh, yeah.
You've got Jason Kelsey doing the...
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Perfect thing. Like, they bring it in. Like, they touch so many different areas out there. I don't know what it's called. Like, maybe it's demographics. Like, it's so much that they do. So, yeah, I totally understand that. And I think, you know, I know that, you know, The Rock is stepping away right now. He's got some movies to film, and John Cena's got some movies to film. But wrestling's hot. To me, I'm not giving Cody Rhodes all the credit because, you know, he doesn't – I'm very, you know, happy for him and all that stuff. But he's not, like, the reason why I would turn on my TV, you know, to watch something like that.
True.
So tell me what's your just tell me about the main event on Sunday night, man. Let's just get into that. Was that the greatest main event ever? Was that the greatest 5 minutes in wrestling history?
I have to tell you, not since the Daniel Bryan triple threat match at Mania 30 have I seen a match with more replay value, a match that I'm more excited to go back and watch. The last kind of 10 years has been not the easiest for certain WWE fans. There are other people that, you know, they'll be WWE fans like Die Hard, but like there were a lot of people that got turned off by it, like kind of in the middle of the decade. And this was one of those main events where like I feel like I could watch this once a day if I had to. Just like the joy, the payoff, all the story they told with Cody going through the loss and all the months of the beatdowns, and then he finally gets his moment. He finally gets to finish the story. He's crying in the ring. He's got his wife. He's calling Triple H out from gorilla position to come out in the ring. And he's got all these guys that are putting him up on his shoulder. It's just such a spectacle. And as far as like, you know, it's a lot of great fan service, because for many years, they weren't worried about giving the fans what they wanted. They were worried about, well, this is what we want, and this is what we're going to give you, like it or not. And now this really felt like this was really one for the fans. And it was just an incredible spectacle.
I was talking to my buddy John Senning, you know, before WrestleMania. And we were talking about the main event, what we think would happen. And he, you know, was telling me he thought that Austin was going to come out. And I was like, it just doesn't make any sense. It's so random. You know, to me, yeah, I can hear the glass shatter. Austin comes out, stuns everybody, throws Cody on top of, you know, Roman, and he walks away. You know, I said I could see that happen. But I was like, I didn't understand how those guys running in would weave into the story, but they were woven into the story so perfectly that it might have just gone over so many people's heads. Because, you know, you had Jimmy and Jey Uso who have the story together. Then you have The Rock and John Cena who have a story together, which I think John Cena got the best of The Rock last time they fought.
Yeah, and Solo Sikoa had a thing with Cena. He was the guy that quote-unquote took him out.
Right. And then you had, I think the last time, you know, The Rock and Undertaker, you know, had issues. I think the Rock ended up winning or something like that. So
yeah,
the Undertaker comes back to finish that. A lot of people were saying that was Steve Austin's spot and that they just couldn't get him to do it. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it was so perfectly executed. And I actually like seeing the Undertaker versus Stone Cold, because we've seen Stone Cold and The Rock so many times in the WrestleMania setting. And so I thought it was so refreshing to see it be Undertaker and go for the simple choke slam. And if you notice, if you go back and watch, not one of these interferences was like directly the benefit to Cody. So what I mean by that is like, it's not like they're beating down Roman Reigns and laying Cody on top like a heel. They're just taking out all the extra people who aren't supposed to be there anyway. And I thought that was so well done and so well, like, respect to the Cody character that, hey, we got your back, but only for the guys that aren't supposed to be here. We're not just going to beat down Roman, leave him laying for you. We're going to take out these other guys, and I really like that.
No, I agree 100%. And I'm actually now I'm wondering if they had to go with the Undertaker, because the way that the lights went out when everybody cleared out and everything like that, like that was a huge part of it, because you had so many people out there, you know, that you have to clean up that mess. I loved how, you know, The Rock and fucking you know, the Undertaker were all out of there. So another guy that we did not mention that came out there that was the MVP of the weekend, Seth Rollins. He's on it, what I heard, like a 1 month break. Rollins, you know, not only fought on Saturday night, but obviously, you know, then he loses on Sunday night. Then he comes out, you know, as the Shield, and essentially, this is like some Game of Thrones shit, sacrifices himself and his body, you know, for Cody Rhodes, as he told Cody Rhodes in a promo, you know, a few weeks back, that I will be your Shield, you know, and he ends up, you know, sacrificing himself to do that, which Seth Rollins, fucking awesome guy, the working man's champion, you know, a good company guy. And that's kind of how the story played out with Seth Rollins. Do you look at him as the MVP of WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it was so well told, that story, exactly what you said, but also in the sense of like Roman getting his comeuppance from 10 years ago when Seth did the very same move to him. So in a way, he got a little closure on that deal.
Yeah.
And Seth got to be Cody's Shield as well. In other words, I'm taking the bullet for you, brother. Like, I'm here for you. And he never once went back on his word. The only thing I would say about Seth, and I do believe he's definitely an MVP in this context, I hope that, you know, when he comes back, we can see some kind of character modification, just in terms of like the excessive cackling and the singing. I'm okay with, but I'd love to see just a little tweak to what he's got going on. Come back as something fresh to do. That was one thing I always respected about Chris Jericho, is like when he'd go away for an extended amount of time, he'd come back and completely reinvented. And I think we're due for something new with Seth.
I agree. And I think that Seth Rollins, not, you know, if we're just taking guesses right now, I believe he's going to come back, obviously, you know, same song, same persona, but I think it's going to be the Seth Rollins that we've seen in the past, where he's not obnoxious. He's not acting like, you know, a giant rock star with the oversized glasses and the fur coats and everything like that. I think we'll see him come out in, you know, Seth Rollins shirts and shit like that, you know, and just be like the old school Seth Rollins. Like, he'll still be a babyface and he still needs his music, but I don't think it's going to be, you know, as grandiose as it was before.
Yeah, I really hope so. But one guy we have to mention here, and that's Damian freaking Priest, the Bondage Undertaker, as Drew McIntyre referred to him. You know, I believe you asked me my thoughts on would he cash in or not, and I probably was just thinking that he maybe only would cash in on the Cody thing, and I was kind of really against it. But I never thought for a second that he would do it here. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, the thing, I only thought that it was possible with Cody, too, because I was trying to figure out, you know, how they would spin this if Roman went away. I was like, then you've got Damian Priest, and, you know, maybe he can do something with Cody. But Drew McIntyre winning was awesome, because Drew McIntyre could be champion. He could beat anybody. Like, Drew McIntyre is at the top of the game. His social media, he might have hired somebody, I don't know, but he did. When he was in the middle of that match with Seth Rollins and he tweeted bored at work.
Right.
And then he tweets bored at work. And then after he fucking loses, you know, after Damian Priest cashes in, he goes back and retweets it and just says, fuck. I was just, I said, this is brilliant. So Drew McIntyre has that moment where he wins. This is awesome. Then he goes over to the announcer's table where CM Punk, you know, was doing commentating. And he just starts taunting CM Punk. And I'm like, okay, you know, they're setting this up for when CM Punk's healthy. I was like, this is a little weird that, you know, Drew McIntyre is like fucking squatting, you know, like on the table. But I was like, all right, you know, this goes along with everything that's happened. And so even when CM Punk was beating Drew McIntyre up with his cast or whatever, I still didn't even think about Damian Priest until
me neither.
Until Priest's music hits and you see the purple and then you see kind of CM Punk's reaction. Right. I think that's I think that's how they showed it.
It's like licking his lips.
I mean, to me, it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's odd when you have a heel, you know, kind of cashing in on a heel. I think, you know, Drew McIntyre is kind of maybe shifting out of that. Maybe not your natural baby face, but, you know, he's just so popular that I think he's well-liked and he's somewhere in the middle. But I thought it was the way that it went, where CM Punk takes him out and here comes Damian Priest to cash in. I read today, Gary, that WWE said that they had that planned for 6 months. That was going to happen. And then I saw a lot of comments were saying, how is that even possible? Like, this CM Punk wasn't even in the company at the time. We knew that the plan all along was CM Punk for Seth Rollins. So, you know, how can you say that? But, you know, maybe they had it in mind that it was going to get, you know, that Seth Rollins was going to end up losing and then get, cashed in on. But that's what a lot of people were just doubting, that WWE had that in the bag for 6 months.
Yeah, Damian Priest, though, I'm so excited for him because I really feel like he is the better heel. If I have to choose between him and Drew, back to your point, you know, Drew could easily be the babyface here, and I think he's already leaning into that world.
Yeah.
So I think the money is always in a nice babyface making the chase against a really mean, angry heel, and so you could run a million guys up to Damian, drag this out all year, and I see far more upside in that versus just having Seth go longer or even Drew in this kind of weird tweener state personally.
And I want to talk to you one more thing and then we'll end this podcast. Another thing that I saw on social media, Roman Reigns walking to the back. And
oh yeah.
And he hugs Paul Heyman and, you know, like you could tell he's emotional. You could tell it's not part of it at all. People were saying that Roman Reigns had a smile on his face when he got pinned by Cody Rhodes. I read that was the anniversary of one of Roman Reigns' brothers, I think, that had passed. But I didn't know. And look, again, nobody knows. But losing that belt or carrying that for so long, I thought was just part of a storyline. But it's way more interweaved with like your real life.
Well, he had it for like what? I don't know if it was exactly 4 years, but it was pretty damn close. I mean, that belt was like a fixture of his body. It was part of his character. It was part of everything. And so it's like, you know, having to, like, you know, taking all the storyline stuff out of it, just from like a personal thing, it's like, that's got to hit deep. Like, he's happy for Cody, I would imagine, you know, the real guy, not the character. Like, he's going to be happy for the guy, but at the same time, like, he's also happy he can rest his body now. But also, it's kind of like, man, that reign is over now. Now it's on to a new one. He just did sign a deal with Nike, so he probably got some sweet money. So he can't be hurting too much, bro.
No.
But, yeah.
And you can tell, listen, Roman doesn't need to be on TV every single week. And Roman can go and Roman can rest and he can come back at SummerSlam. Like, I have no problem with that. You know, Roman Reigns, and this is, I will have one more question for you. Roman Reigns, from when he was kind of being forced down our throats by Vince to kind of where they naturally got him in to know when he got with Heyman, to me, is obviously when things took off. John Cena seems like the nicest guy of all time. He's got like 20 million make-a-wishes granted. He loves the fucking company. He'll do anything the company wants. He said Roman Reigns is the greatest of all time. To me, this is just, I don't know what goes into it, but to me, Roman Reigns won all of his matches by cheating, you know, in the last few years. He did a great job acting. To me, like I said, where he came from winning the Royal Rumble to where he is now is, you know, he's a rock star now. You know, but I don't think of him as the greatest of all time. Should I?
I don't think greatest of all time. I don't think, you know, I'm not saying like I'm so offended that he would say that, but I think in the context of WWE, like, John Cena's that guy. But he's not going to say that because he's so humble. And I just don't think that, you know, maybe in 20 or 30 years we could maybe say Roman, depending on what he does. Although I don't know how he's going to top this last reign. I mean, how do you even, I have no clue. But I think that John Cena would be like the real GOAT, honestly, if I'm being honest. And I don't even like his character all the time, but I respect, you know, obviously what he's done in and out of the ring, Make-A-Wish, and just sticking to his guns and playing the best character that he thought, you know, he needed to be and what WWE needed to be. He was always like ready to go. Hey, we need you here. Let's go. And I'm thrilled for the career he's had.
Is it okay that I think The Rock is the greatest of all time? And I think that him coming back, I think, you know, him coming back now with this, I mean, he's going to have a run. Like, you know, they're saying that he's going to wrestle Cody, you know, next year, WrestleMania, that's the plan, or, you know, SummerSlam, who knows? I know The Rock's off shooting a movie, but, you know, to me, like, this, The Rock's has always been the biggest star to come out of WWE, and to see him come back and uplift everybody, he brought up Roman Reigns, he brought up Seth Rollins, he brought up Cody Rhodes, like, he uplifted a lot of people, you know, and I know that's what a lot of guys do towards the end of their career, but You know, that to me, you know, he's still my guy, always and forever.
What did he hand to Cody?
What is it, the watch, that Dusty Rhodes pawned or something like that, that, you know, to send him to acting school? What are they saying it was?
Possibly that, or somebody is like, what if it's one of those, like, red beads from Roman's necklace, like, he's secretly making him, like, a bloodline guy? Like, people are getting, like, real crazy with the conspiracies. I actually don't know. I mean, that's... I'm sure it's probably something that they dropped somewhere on one of the shows and we just didn't pick up on it. And then we'll go back and watch it like, oh, yeah, duh.
And we'll just rip through this quickly. You know, congrats to Sami Zayn. I am a huge Gunther fan. Let me just see in the back area. I got this. My man Berto Perez and the Bubba Army got me a Gunther autograph right here.
That is legit.
Yeah, a little Gunther. So I'm having Gunther drop the strap because that means, you know, he's going to, you know, be elevated, I think, into, you know, the main event picture, which he should. Shout out to Bayley for winning the championship. Like, she's been taking fucking losses for, I think, you know, a couple of years now, you know, putting people over. And, you know, she finally got rewarded. And also, you know, I love this. The Jade Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair. You knew they were going to be damn in control. But the way that they're setting up Jade Cargill, I'll fuck her name up every time. You know, there's only like a couple of people that can really go toe to toe with Rhea Ripley. You know, Bianca,
right,
one of them, and now Jade's another one of them. And I know Jade's probably a little far away from having that match with Rhea Ripley, but I just love what's going on in the women's division right now. For a while, it was bad, and now I feel like it's overflowing.
Yeah, and it's gonna, you know, if they play it out right and we spread out the different challengers, it's gonna be even better. I mean, Raw, we just saw. This is not quite the women, but Ilya Dragunov from NXT, like they're bleeding in some of that NXT stuff. So I'm really excited for that. Another thing, shout out to AJ Styles' new theme song. That's a banger. And shout out to Snoop Dogg's commentary on that six-man tag because that was amazing. And WWE posted on their YouTube. Everybody go watch. They cut up all the best Snoop Dogg lines from that match. It was great.
It was, you know, and again, and while we're just talking about the pop culture figures, you know, I think Logan Paul was out there having I Show Speed, I don't watch a lot of streams at all, but I'm familiar with I Show Speed because he's jumped through fucking his TV and all kinds of shit. And it's crazy, you know, like Randy Orton, like whatever they had practiced was fucking perfect. That was a perfect RKO. And having him just lay there in the Prime mascot outfit is just even funnier. So, and I know people hate on Logan Paul, man, but you saw the video he posted of his, like, genuine, you know, childlike reaction to when all of his favorite wrestlers were coming out, and he, you know, he continues to win, man. Like, that guy's gonna be the heavyweight champion one day.
I truly believe it. I think last week we both saw somebody else winning that match, and Logan pulled through. And I remembered, I'm like, oh yeah, SummerSlam's in Cleveland. And so that's his hometown. So maybe there's a reason for that. And we'll kind of see where they go with that. But yeah, I mean, if you're still hating on Logan Paul as the wrestler, you know, forget about it. Like, he is really good at what he's doing. He's getting better. Literally, I mean, his promos, Seth, have gone 10 times better from where they were even 6 months ago. Like, when he was on the WrestleMania stage on SmackDown, and he's talking his shit, it's like, it was really good. And if you go back to, like, you know, 6 months ago to a year ago, his promos, not nearly as good. They were okay, and the in-ring was far superior and where it should be, but he's really getting the promos dialed in now, and he's going to be, at some point, a world champion, and you can put the money on that one.
There you go. I mean, there's no disagreeing there. All right, Gary. I mean, I could bring up a million things, but we got to end this shit sometime. So what's the next event do we have after WrestleMania?
Well, if we're talking about both companies, I believe AEW Dynasty is up next and then followed by Backlash in France.
Oh, okay. Backlash in France. Gary, here's what we'll do. As we sit here on Wednesday, you know, talking about our WrestleMania wrap-up, let's get together and do one next week, and let's talk about AEW and the footage that they're playing and, you know, of CM Punk and all that. And I'm not going to watch AEW at all, like, tonight or anything, but I'm sure the footage will be online. Maybe you'll send it to me, but... You know, well, there's some things to get into with the other company for sure.
100%. I have so many thoughts, and we'll tackle it next week, dude.
Thanks, man.